Tobacco, the pastor here at Rogers Assembly, and I just want to thank you for joining our audio podcast today. I hope that this message makes you feel connected, that it allows you to grow in your faith, and it helps you understand that God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message. According to Healthline, a leader in related research articles and information, the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic and its quarantine has introduced widespread negative elements into our society. Americans are reported significant and sustained increases in symptoms of depression and anxiety. Women, minorities, people with pre-existing health conditions, and those that are aged 34 and under all report higher rates of fear and anxiety. These numbers that are being reported are well above our historical norms. Friends, we are living in crazy times. They are times of heightened stress and heightened anxiety. And so for the next 8 weeks, we are embarking as a church, and me personally, and I hope you personally also, no matter where you're at, embark on an 8-week journey to purposely break our routines, to get out of the house, to study through the happiest book of the New Testament, the book of Philippians, and to have fun getting out in God's creation and going on a joyride. Would you do that with me for these next 8 weeks? I'm reminded that we as Americans have certain unalienable rights. They're granted to us by our Constitution. Thus stated in our Declaration of Independence is our right for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But oftentimes that happiness eludes us. Oftentimes happiness is short-lived. And in times of pandemic and in times of quarantine, sometimes our happiness just feels like it's being snuffed out. That's because happiness is based on external circumstances. If I make enough money, I'll be happy. If I could just find true love, I'd be happy. If I could just go on to this dream vacation destination, I would be happy. If I could just pay this bill off, or if I could just get out of debt, I would be happy. And these things are great when we achieve them in our lives. And when we achieve that, we feel a sense of happiness for a time. But what happens when the external circumstances in our lives don't break our way? Do we feel unhappy because our jobs pays us less than we deserve? Do we feel unhappy when that vacation that we want to go on so desperately has to wait another year? Are we unhappy when we try to just go out to eat to maybe our favorite restaurant to find out that, you know, they're not having dining in or the wait line is too long? See, happiness is rooted in external circumstances. And those circumstances are constantly changing around us. And they're only momentary, producing a momentary happiness. But God has designed a better plan for us, and that is the plan of joy. See, joy isn't rooted in external circumstances. Joy is rooted in something that's internal. It's an internal circumstance. It comes from a place deep within inside of us where the world doesn't give it to us and the world can't take it away. Joy comes from the Spirit of God and God's presence in our lives. If you do not believe me, consider the verse found in Galatians 5:22. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But we're talking about joy. It's the second on the list, right after love. It says the fruit of the Spirit. That means the Spirit is the one that creates these things. It creates love. It creates joy in our lives. Well, I believe as Christians that we all need to be filled with joy. Sometimes, though, that's hard to do. especially in quarantined situations, especially when we're facing pandemics, especially when we're facing governor-mandated restrictions. How do I find joy in these situations? Today, we're going to be starting an 8-week ride through the book of Philippians. Philippians is noted in the New Testament as being the book of joy. Some scholars call this Paul's happiest book. 16 times joy, or the word rejoicing, is referenced in Philippians 4 short chapters. And the amazing thing about it is Paul is writing the book of Philippians from a prison cell. He's writing a book about joy and the joy of the Lord and the joy that comes from knowing Christ and the joy that we have as Christians. And he's writing it while he's in chains. In Philippians, you'll find some of the most amazing scriptures that we could ever quote. In fact, many of you know these. Philippians 1:6, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I love that verse. I quote that verse all the time. I stand on that verse. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. How true is that? Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving in your heart, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How encouraging is that? Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or anything is praiseworthy, think on these things. Whatever you've learned or received or you've heard from me or you've seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Encouraging words. And finally, he wraps up in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Encouraging words written out of a place of pure joy, but also written out of a place of solitary confinement, birthed in a Roman prison. How do we obtain joy? Today, I want to look at 4 factors that will help you experience joy in your life. Today, the very first factor that I want to focus on to help you experience true joy in your life is that joy comes when we focus on the good in life. When we focus on the good. As a pastor, I have known some people, they are filled with joy. They're just happy all the time. And everything they do is just joy filled. There's something that's in with them. And they're fun people. And everything is exciting. They always have a smile on their face. They always have a positive outlook on everything. There's always a laugh in everything that they do. They're just filled with joy. And then I know some other people where joy eludes them. Like they've never had a moment of happiness in their life, where they're negative about everything. They're the Chicken Little type of people. You know, the sky is falling. They're the people that you ask them, hey man, how's it going? And they say, oh pastor, oh, let me tell you about my back. Let me tell you about my hip. Let me tell you about my shoulder. Let me tell you about my last surgery. Let me tell you about my upcoming surgery. Let me tell you about how bad this economic status is. Let me tell you what's wrong with the world. You know, those people that dwell on the negative, it seems like joy always eludes them. Paul is writing from a prison cell, but yet he is filled with joy. And he writes this in Philippians 1:1 as he begins the book. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, I'm writing to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that it's interesting to note that Paul addresses them as holy people. Why is Paul calling the church at Philippi holy people? Did these people not have sin like everybody else? Were these people better than everybody else? On the contrary, Philippi was known as a retirement community for Roman centurions or Roman guards, Roman, those that served in the Roman army, oftentimes retired to this little province of Philippi. And so I would be willing to bet that the people in Philippi, having already served in the Roman army, had probably seen a lot of bad things in their lifetime. And on top of that, they've probably already done a few bad things in their lifetime. And Paul calls them holy. The Greek word that Paul uses here for holy means set apart. See, it's not your past lineage that makes you holy. It's not your past list of do's and don'ts that makes you holy. It's your stance that makes you holy. It's your decision to follow Christ that makes you holy. I am holy because I am set apart. I'm holy because I have decided to follow Jesus. See, it's the one who makes a stance is the one that is holy, the one that is set apart. And Paul chooses to call them and address them as the holy people that are in Philippi. See, Paul chooses not to call them by their past, not to call them by their failures, not to call them by their sin, but Paul chooses to focus on the good and who they are, and he calls them holy. And this is what he says to the holy people in verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray for you. See, Paul is saying, I love thinking about you. See, we're in this together. We are family. And there's nothing negative that Paul points out about them. And that's because Paul views them not as a business, and Paul doesn't view them, you know, as just another ministry position or just another ministry stop along the way. But Paul views the people at the church of Philippi as family. We're in this together. See, you have to go all the way back to Acts chapter 16 to understand the relationship between Philippi and Paul. Paul was traveling on a missionary journey there in Acts chapter 16, and Paul is on his route to Asia. And Paul has a message from God to go to Asia and to deliver the word in the province of Asia. But however, he is redirected by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will not allow him to enter Asia. It just doesn't feel right, and the doors aren't opening. But yet the Holy Spirit redirects him to the province where Philippi lays, and that is Macedonia. Church, I want you to know that God is in your redirection. Do not lose joy because you have to redirect in life sometimes, but rejoice, not because you're where you thought you would be, but rejoice because you're right where God has you to be. See, he ends up not going to Asia. He ends up going to Macedonia. And when he arrives in Macedonia, they don't have synagogues. They're a pagan people, very polytheistic. And so Paul goes where the people go, and that is the watering hole. That's the river. And they congregate down by the river to do their business. And there at the river, he meets a lady named Lydia. And he begins sharing the gospel with Lydia. And Lydia accepts Jesus into her heart and into her life. And Lydia, a businesswoman from Macedonia, from Philippi, gets saved. And she is the very first convert to start that church there in Philippi. Because of that, she went home, she told her family, and her whole family accepts Jesus. And her whole family gets saved. Paul continues to do mighty works there. And of course, Satan counters him. And at one moment, Paul casts a demon out of a slave girl. And they were using this demon to tell fortunes. And so when Paul casts this demon out of this slave girl, what happens is the owners no longer have an income. They never have they no longer have a revenue stream because they were exploiting this young girl. And Paul and Silas are thrown into prison there in Philippi because of it. They find themselves in a Macedonian jail. Paul is dreadful and he's doubtful. And he could have been focusing on that. He could have been focusing on that jail there. But Paul and Silas are not. Instead, you can read in Acts that they begin singing praises unto God. And when they sing praises unto God with a joyful heart, the earth is shaken and the walls of the prison open up. And they're able to lead the Roman guard that was there protecting them and making sure they were okay. They're able to lead him to Christ. And he becomes another convert in the church in Philippi. See, Paul could have had every reason to focus on something negative, to focus on something whiny, but he chose not to. Paul focused on joy. See, human nature is for us to focus on the negative. That's something that we always do. We do something to ourselves that's just so self-deprecating that we remember our hurts, we remember our failures, but then we bring them up and we relive those failures. And we relive our shortcomings and we relive our mistakes time and time and time again. And Paul says, you will never, ever, ever find joy in that mindset. You need to set your mind on good things. Focus on the good. The second factor that I want to focus on today that will help us experience true joy is that we must understand that joy comes when we understand God is still working in us. He's still working in us. This is maybe one of my most favorite Bible passages. I have a bunch, but this is one I often quote. He says in verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from this day until now. Then verse 6. I'm being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Church, that's good news. That he who began a good work will carry it out unto completion. See, we as people, we're great at judging ourselves and we're great at judging others. And we judge others for any numerous amount of superficial reasons. We say, oh man, did you see what they're wearing? Oh, dude, I would not wear that. No, they are definitely brave. They're braver than me. I would not wear that out in public. Did you hear what they said? They said it was just so terrible. See, a lot of times we judge others based on our expectations of where they should be. And we expect people to act a certain way and to behave a certain way. And we get caught up in so many things that in the light of eternity, they don't even matter. See, that's the beautiful thing about God's grace. The beautiful things about God's grace, it says, hey, I'm still working on you. I still have a job to do. I'm still in your life and we're still doing this together. You know, during this quarantine, my wife and my daughter, for a phase there, they did a few puzzles together. And then we take this box and the box on the outside looks beautiful. There's like this gigantic picture and it's real picturesque and scenic and it's beautiful. But then you open up the box and you dump it out and it doesn't look anything like what it should. It's all in pieces and it's there. And a lot of times we judge our lives because we look at all these jumbled pieces that are there on the table, and they're all scattered out and they're all over the place. And we think our lives should look more like the box. And we say, God, you know, this is what I had more in mind. I had the picture in the box, but I just don't see it. And all I see is all these jumbled pieces. And we don't understand that God is still working in the puzzle. He's still putting the pieces together. And we get frustrated because life doesn't look like it's supposed to. And if you're like me, sometimes we take that piece that maybe doesn't quite fit, but we try to jam it in there and we try to make it fit. And we say, yeah, this is where it goes. And we're trying to make it work and make it work and make it work. But it's really not supposed to go there. It's supposed to go way over here. And we get frustrated in that process. Let me tell you this. Find joy, church. Find joy that God is assembling the pieces of your life. Let God put the pieces together. Our job is just to listen, and our job is just to obey. Joy comes from knowing that God is still at work in our lives, assembling the pieces. He's assembling the pieces in the mess. God is still at work in the confusion. God is still doing things in our anxiety. God is still working on us. I may not be where I want to be, but thank God, hallelujah, I am not where I once was, and God is still working in my life, and I believe that He is faithful and He is just to bring them into completion, just like His word says. Joy comes from knowing that God is still working. He's still working in our lives. Church, today, thirdly, I want to focus on the next thing that I believe will create joy in our lives. And that joy comes from having meaningful friendships from other Jesus followers. Your direction in life is often marked by the crowd that you hang out with. And that's why church is so important. See, church is nothing more than a community of Christians that have all purpose together to follow God together. I hear all the time that Christians can do that people can do Christianity without church. I can be a Christian without church. I don't have to go to church to be saved. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I agree with you. You do not have to go to church to have Jesus in your heart and to be a Christian. But my question is how long can you remain a Christian and not go to church? How long can you endure without going to church? See, there has to be an important reason why there is church. Jesus instituted the church. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't your idea. It was Jesus' idea. And Jesus says, upon the rock of Peter's confession, I will build my church. Notice he doesn't say your church or their church. He says, I will build my church. And if Jesus built the church, then there must be purpose and there must be a need for it in our lives. See, we call that a community of believers. There is an importance in the community of Christ followers coming together. See, if you build community, if you build Jesus followers into your life and into your surroundings, they will pull you in that direction. When you alleviate that from your life, then you're forced to be pulled in many different directions from ungodly people. Paul says this in verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you. I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with affection of Christ Jesus. See, Paul is in prison. He's separated from the outside world. However, Paul was not alone. Paul keeps remembering them and saying, I have partnership with them, and I am rejoicing with you and your triumphs, and you're rejoicing with me, whether I am free preaching the gospel or whether I am in chains. And church, that is the Christian community that we all need, that in good times and in bad times, we're all in this together, and we're all pushing towards knowing Christ. Health studies have proven that people who isolate themselves and close themselves off are 3 times more likely to die sooner than people that have multiple friendships. See, people that have bad habits, people that smoke excessively, that have excessive alcohol intake, people that have poor exercise and poor diets, but they have multiple friendships, it's been proven that they outlive those who have good habits, but yet live in isolation. So the point of that is, it's better to eat deep fried fatty foods with friends than it is to eat healthy foods alone. And I'll bet you there are many people out there saying amen to that. That's my favorite point. But see, we have to be committed to community. Community is healthy for the growth of the believer. The last factor that I want to look at today, church, is that joy comes when you pray for and you think about others. Paul wraps up this first part of Philippians. He says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. How is Paul finding joy in the middle of prison? He's finding it, and he says, I find joy because I am praying for you and I am remembering you. It could have easily been the other way around. Paul could have easily focused on himself. Paul could have said, you know what, man? Prison food stinks. I hate prison food. No more of that slop. No more of that mush. They only feed me 1 time a day. He could have said, man, this place is filled with cockroaches. Look at how filthy it is. He could have said, look at this 8x8 cell I'm in. There's no room to breathe in here. On top of it, I got to share it with Silas over here. Paul didn't say any of that. Paul is in chains and in prison. And what he's saying is, I'm finding joy internally because I am thinking about and I am praying for you. See, when all you think about in life is yourself, all you think about is your problems, all you think about is your bad luck, all you think about is your failures, it leads you to a dismal place in life, a place that you don't want to be. But joy comes. Joy comes when we're praying, when we're thinking, and we're doing for others. I cannot count the times with my hands that people have come up to me and they said, Pastor, you know what? I went on this missions trip and I went there really expecting to help others and to do a work in their lives. But you know what? God did such a work in my own life. I was the one that was blessed. You can't count how many times people said, you know, Pastor, I volunteered for this and I volunteered because I thought that I was in it for them. But the Lord blessed me through it, and the Lord's working in me. There are times when people gave money to others, and I said, you know what? I gave because I was trying to help them out. But you know what? I just sat back and received a blessing that was like tenfold in my life. I just felt so good. That's why we feel great. That's why we feel good. That's why we feel happiness. That's why we feel joy. When we're doing something for other people and we're thinking about other people and we're praying for other people. Church, today, I want you to know that there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness comes from the things of this world. Happiness comes from our salaries. It comes from our houses. It comes from our cars. It comes from our vacations. It comes from any number of external influences, but it's all short-lived and it's all momentary. But joy comes from God, and it's produced in our heart, and it comes forth in all circumstances and all variables. Joy is something that we need in our lives. And we can obtain joy by following Paul's example here in the book of Philippians. We can learn to focus on the good. And some of you out there, you need to do this. Each and every single day, learn to focus on the good. Break up that day into smaller segments and say, you know what? I've been in a bad mood because I've been thinking about this problem at work. You know what? Think about the good. You know, I've been really upset because this person has done me wrong and I'm really mad at them. Think about the good in their lives. Number two, you can find joy by knowing that God is still working in your life. I know it gets frustrating that we're not where we want to be sometimes, and sometimes we make mistakes, and sometimes we slip up, and we beat ourselves up over it. But you know what? We don't give up, and we have joy, and we have hope, and we have peace, because God is still at work in our lives. We can have joy when we develop meaningful Christian relationships, when we have others that are on the same page, pulling us the same way. Simple phone calls, simple letters of encouragement, simple services that are posted online, or little reminders that are posted on Facebook, to know that we're part of Christian community and it's pulling us closer to Christ. We can find joy, lastly, when we think about and pray for others. My friends, we are embarking on an 8-week journey, and I want to challenge you in closing to do two things during these next 8 weeks. One is I want to encourage you to read through the book of Philippians. It's only 4 short chapters. It's a very short read. Read through the book of Philippians at least once. I believe everybody that is hearing this at this moment can read through the book of Philippians at least once in the next 8 weeks. My challenge to you would be to read it through multiple times or several times, but once will be good. And then I'm challenging, for mental health reasons, to take a break. Take a break sometime in the middle of your week to unwind and to de-stress. And I'm going to challenge you to actually get out of your house and go on a joy ride. Now, we still have restrictions put on us. We have to wear masks in certain places, but you can still get out of your routines. You can still find a moment to de-stress, and you can still find a moment to go enjoy God and the creation and the nature that's surrounding us. So my challenge to you is twofold. Read through the book of Philippians and be blessed. Go on a joy ride and be blessed. God bless you.